We're doing Mishlei. We're up to the what's called the 10th chapter, the 10th pasuk. And this is really, it's here that Shlomo HaMelech starts giving us real advice, where every pasuk gives us an insight into life. And we've been learning Mishlei for a few years now, and it was voted that I should read it with the tune and then explain. So Shlomo HaMelech says, Koretz ayin yitein atzahavet. When a person winks, koretz ayin is a person that winks, he closes his eye. Yitein atzavet, he causes pain. Vevil sefatayim yilavet. But a person who speaks crookedly, he will ultimately be worn down, he will be destroyed. So over here, the question is, what Shlomo HaMelech talking about? One understanding is that koretz ayin is talking about a person who can signal others to action with his winks, and then he causes pain. And very often, it seems on the surface that he's getting away with it because he didn't say anything. So go sue him. Whereas the vil svataim, the person who actually said something, so then it's easier to take him to task because he actually said something. There's another understanding here that koretz ayin is referring to a person who expresses his anger, he expresses his evil thoughts with winks of his eye, but he doesn't say anything. Sometimes a person looks at you and you see he can't keep his eyes open because he keeps certain enmity, he has an anger, a hatred that's brewing in his heart. So Shlomo HaMelech says, when you see that, yitein atzavet, you have to know that there's something brewing. It will cause sorrow. If he didn't let it out, so then you should know that it's coming. It's not going to dissipate. Sometimes we like to fool ourselves and assume that it's over, it's gone. No, Shlomo warns us. Vevil sefataim, on the other hand, if a person actually expressed his evil thoughts, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to destroy you, he says everything he has in his heart, so then yilamet, Shlomo HaMelech says, ultimately a person can calm down because he expressed his anger, and so that allows him to calm down. And the commentaries say that also about Moshe Rabbeinu. Korach comes and says all his nasty things, and Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't say a word. And then it says, Vaypol al panav, Moshe fell on his face. So, I don't remember if it's the Ibn Ezra or the Rashbam says, if someone comes and attacks you, and you're quiet, so then your heart feels like you have to say something, and you're not saying anything. So then, Vaypol al panav. The only thing Moshe could do is fall on his face and daven. But even there, he did something. When a person is angry and he's bursting and he doesn't say anything, sometimes you have it with a boss that says something to a worker. Sometimes you're in a position where you're in charge and you feel you could get away with telling someone what you think. But at the end of the day, Shlomo HaMelech says, no, if someone's brewing ill thoughts about you, ultimately, yiten atzavet, it will bear fruit. Vevil sefataim, whereas if he said something, so then he let it out, then there's a better chance that things will calm down.
If someone threatens, if someone says, well, they'll kill you, it's better, there's a better chance they won't kill you than if they just don't say anything?
To a degree, there's a better chance they'll calm down. I take them seriously. I was asked last night what a parent should say if their child, God forbid, says, I'm going to commit suicide. So one educator said that the parent should say, gee, it'll be very sad. We'll have to take comfort with your siblings. So I wasn't happy with that answer. There was an educator who said that if a child tries to threaten the parents with suicide, the parent should say, I'll be very sad if you do it, but I'll have to comfort myself with your siblings. In other words, it's not a threat. Brothers, with the other children I have. So I don't think that's right. I think that I disagreed with that educator. I think that a parent should say, look, if that's how you feel, then we have to go to Kfar Shul. meaning then we have a real problem here. We have to go to the mental hospital down the road. There's a mental hospital down the road, guys. You shouldn't need it, but down the road there's a mental hospital called Kfar Shaul. So I said that I agree that you have to diffuse the threat. You have to tell the child this isn't something you could threaten with. But at the same time, you have to take it seriously. So that's what you're saying. Yeah, if a guy tells you he's going to kill you, I don't know. I'm not quick to say that that means nothing. No, I think you have to give weight to what a person says. Shlomo HaMelech is speaking about a different aspect, where if it comes out, at least the person might calm down. If you see your boss is gritting his teeth against you and you don't know why, and he's not expressing anything, then you're in trouble. And the same thing with a worker. If you have a worker that you see is upset at you, but you haven't worked it out, then you have a problem. Whereas if he expressed it, so then there's a better chance he'll calm down. But you're right, if he expressed the threat, then you have to take the threat seriously too. Shlomo HaMelech says, when we speak, we have potential to impact the world. Mikol chayim pi tzadik. The mouth of a righteous person is the source of life. And we have tremendous capacity with our mouths, with what we say about someone. Ufi rishaim yechase chamas. But the mouth of the wicked is always looking to cover up their thoughts of how to harm others. So, again, we have our hearts, we have our mouths. Ordinarily, people hear us from what we say. That's where they assume we are. If in our hearts there are thoughts how to harm our fellow man, so then pi reshaim yichase chamas. He uses his speech as a way of covering up what the harm he's going to do. Whereas a tzaddik, he uses the capacity to speak as a tool to give life to the world. And this is something which every one of you can do. Mikol chayim, a source of life. How can you do that? I'll give you a small example. I was once in Kazarav. The telephone rang, the payphone, and it was a wife of one of the guys who used to stay every night to learn. So I said to her, you know how much we appreciate you and your husband? I wasn't married yet then. I said, every night he stays and learns, and we, how many people can stay and learn when they're married? And we know it's all you. And she was shocked. She was, really? Yeah. I said, yeah. And he told me that changed her whole perspective. She always thought that they were just struggling in Torah. Her husband's like an average Joe. Suddenly she heard, no, he's much better than that. You see, you say one good sentence, sometimes you could change a person's life. There was once a guy here who would never sing, and he would never go as chazan. And I told him, you know, you have a beautiful voice. And he started being chazan, and he became full-fledged Baal Kore. You say one nice thing to a person, you tell him, you know, you have a beautiful voice, to move him forward. Sometimes it's one line, and you could be a mekol chayim, a source of life for people. It's one line. What? Mekol chayim, a source of life. I once visited Rav Pesin Zatzal when he was ill, and he couldn't learn anymore. He couldn't see well anymore. So I told him a story that I heard from Rav Moshe Feinstein's son, that when Rav Moshe Feinstein became an old man, so he couldn't learn anymore. He was ill, and all he could learn all day was Mishnayot. He couldn't learn anything else. And people would stand online to come and get a bracha from him. So people would want his blessings. And he said at one point to his son, he said, it could be that the reason Hashem left me on earth now, until now my job was to learn and teach and paskin, and now my job is to be a person who gives blessings. To give brachot, maybe that's my job now. And when Rav Pesin heard that Rav Moshe said that, so he took comfort. Suddenly his face shone, and a week later when I visited him, he said to me, you know, you helped me get perspective. That sentence that you told me, so yeah, sometimes a person focuses on what he wishes he could do and could accomplish, and sometimes he realizes, hey, where I am is, that's good. We have to try to use our mouths to be mekol chayim, a source of life. A person has to think about what he says, and one of the ways in which we can train ourselves to do that is by taking segments of time that we focus on what we say. Meaning, I used to work on it on Mondays and Thursdays. I used to say Monday and Thursday we have extra davening, so it's easy to remember. On Mondays and Thursdays I'm going to watch every word I say. And this way I took 2 days a week when I was extra focused, and that could help me remain focused the rest of the week. Because ordinarily we talk, and sometimes we say this way, sometimes that way. Mekol chayim pi tzadik. The mouth of the righteous should be a source of life for others. We're in Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Bet. Yeah.
I heard that Rav Moshe Feinstein was never really knowing to give bracha. Did he change at the end of his...
I'm unaware of that being true. I know of people who he gave bracha to.
Yeah.
He asked if it's true that Rav Moshe never wanted to give bracha to people. So I'm unaware of that. Pasuk Yud Bet.
People would ask him for a bracha and he'd give him an apple and say a bracha.
I don't know.
People would ask Rav Soloveitchik for a bracha and he'd get an apple and say, here, say a bracha.
Sin'ah te'orer medanim. Hatred that a person has for someone arouses midanim, it arouses the fights, it arouses the memories of other things he did wrong. Meaning that's usually what happens when people get into a fight. And it's not only that, but when we were in third grade, you stole my lunch. Now, yeah, because somehow when there's sinah, when there's hatred, so it could arouse things from the past. I was the one sitting with a couple, and they're arguing. And she says to him, and not only that, but when we were dancing at the wedding and I sat down next to you, you didn't even get me a cup of water to drink. You didn't ask anyone to get me a cup of water. So, that's what you remember is from back then? Yeah, when you're upset, so a whole bunch of things can come to the surface. And this is true also, Ben Adam Lamakom, that Hashem in the Navi Yechezkel, Hashem tells us, towards the end of the first temple, towards the end of Beit Rishon, suddenly Hashem comes and starts rebuking us for what we did in Mitzrayim. Meaning, all the years we don't know that Hashem sent Aaron a Kohen in Mitzrayim. Doesn't say it. In Shmos it doesn't say it. In all the Nevi'im, until you reach the point of Churban Bayis Rishon, where the Navi Yechezkel suddenly tells us, you know, I sent you a prophet before Moshe. I sent you Aaron a Kohen, and he told you to stop doing your idol worship because I want to take you out of Egypt. And you guys didn't listen. And really, you didn't deserve to be taken out of Mitzrayim either. No mention of it. For 1,000 years, we don't hear about it. The whole Torah, Nevi'im, nothing. You hit Yechezkel, suddenly you hear that before Moshe came, Aaron came, and we didn't listen. And Hashem says, really, you didn't deserve to come out of Mitzrayim either. No, I took you out, Va'as Leman Shmi, for my name. So that's what Shlomo is saying. Sin'ah, when you arouse hatred, Torer Medanim, so then you're arousing old fights and old feelings. Val kol pisha'im techase ahava, but love can cover even the worst offenses. And this is a rule. People sometimes say, I'll tell you what I said. I called Rav Feinstein before I got engaged. And I said, I met a girl, and I think this is right. And I'm not perfect, but I'm not stupid. I know that there are certain things that she's not perfect either. So he says, yeah, but now it doesn't bother you. I said, right, but now I'm all excited. What's going to be in 5 years? What's going to be in 10 years? So he said to me, well, if things are good now and it doesn't bother you now, the fact that you're not blind, that you see that you're not perfect, she's not perfect, okay. I said, and what'll be in 5 years? He said, in 5 years, you'll love her more than you love her now. He said to me this pasuk. He said, and when you love a person, so then even things that are really improper, even if there are things that are really offensive, yeah, love can cover it all. And that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, when we're fighting, so then the biggest house, there isn't enough room for both of us. And when we love one another, then we can both go to sleep on the edge of a sword and there's plenty of room. That's okay. Al kol pesha'im techase ahava. And that's why when people say, she did this, that, and the other thing. I was once talking to Rav Neumann. Rav Zev Neumann, he wrote a few books, and Rav Mordechai Eliyahu used to refer people to him. with all kinds of topics of marriage and the laws of family purity and shalom bias. And before I was married, I once spoke to him, and he said to me, what would you say about a couple where when the wife gets upset, she throws dishes at the husband? You'd say he's got to get divorced, right?
Get cheaper dishes.
Get plastic dishes.
So he said to me, wrong. You deal with that too. Kol pesha'im techaseh ahava. The pasuk says things that are offensive. She's wrong. There's no way you could say justify it. She's right at throwing dishes at me. Okay, no, she's wrong. But you got to have the ahava that can deal with that too. Kol pesha'im, even though things are wrong.
He recommended staying in a relationship.
Yeah, he said every relationship is going to have major issues you have to work on. I'm not telling you, you guys are at the dating stage. That's a different game. I'm not telling you to marry a girl when she throws dishes at you on the date. No. But if after you're married, you suddenly discover that she does, so then you have to work it out. But that's not a reason to run away from the marriage. No. Right, that's what he was coming to say.
I thought other things were I thought just like, you know, really dumb mistakes, like those you have to be ready for. But even like Davka.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Nope. And every marriage is going to have things, because I'm thinking of the examples of the last 2 weeks. I'm just trying to think if I could tell you the couples I sat with the last 2 weeks, the stories that came up. I'm just a little scared for people's privacy. I haven't thought it through how to change the facts enough to make sure you wouldn't be able to know, like, it could never get back to those people. But I'm smiling because as you're talking to me, I'm thinking about windows being broken. I'm thinking about the last 2 weeks. That's all. Every marriage has the issues where one side, and both sides really, are dead wrong. It's not about being, well, maybe. No, wrong. Wrong. It's not right that you agreed that you'll live within this budget and then you just had to get that iPhone. It's not right. You know, you assumed a certain budget and then not. It's not right. You assume a certain budget and she gets 3 mink coats. Yeah, there are a lot of things that are not right. And, no, yeah, you got to make it work. Pishayim. Yeah, pishayim. Again, dating is a different story. I'm not telling you to marry the girl. But once you're married, then you got to make it work. Shlomo HaMelech says, with the lips of someone who is wise, if you ask him a question, so then you will find the answer to be, you will find that he will answer you with wisdom. And Rashi here gives a fantastic interpretation. Rashi says, this is a reference to his response for your rebuke. Meaning, you want to know how smart a person is. See how he responds when you tell him he's wrong. What does David say when Natan comes to him? He says, Chatati, I'm wrong. That, says Rashi, is the chokhmah. You want to know what's the wisdom of a person that has intelligence? It's his capacity to say, I'm wrong. We would think it's his insistence, I'm right, let me show you how I'm right. No, it's the capacity to say, I'm wrong. Whereas, v'shevet legev k'sidim, the fool, you're not going to be able to talk to him, so the only thing that's going to teach him is being beaten. So that could be Paro, who wouldn't listen as much as we try teaching him, but that could be each and every one of us. One of the difficult things we see in education is the weaknesses that people have and the cycles they create for themselves. Every one of us has a weakness which we have to overcome. And if we don't overcome it, then we end up repeating the mistakes, repeating the prices we pay. We had a guy who every date he went on was very focused on himself and what's going on in his life. And girls would dump him one by one. And he could never figure out what don't they like. So we tried saying it gently this way and gently that way. And
how did you know?
What?
How did you know?
Sometimes we set him up and the girl came back to us and said, I couldn't get in a word edgewise. You know, everything we spoke about came back to him. So if it all comes back to him, at some point, you know, the girl can think he's a nice guy, but she doesn't want to talk about him all the time. We could talk about other things. We could talk about the flowers. We could talk about But if everything comes back to, well, once upon a time I had this and I did that, and you know I had a terrible headache yesterday, and that, everything, he's very focused on what happened to him. Now, sometimes it's an issue of style. He doesn't realize how other people hear it. Sometimes a person grew up, I once saw a parent of, it wasn't an only child, it was the smallest child, and all the older siblings were married. And everything the child did, the parents had patience for, because there wasn't anyone else to deal with in the house. So this kid was used to being the center of attention and was very accustomed to being given that attention, that whatever he wanted to talk about, he could talk about. A kid with a normal situation can't do that. My daughter came to discuss with me this morning why she can't decide which ribbon she should put in her hair. So I said, you know, that's an excellent discussion for a different time. Right now, I don't have time. You're going to have to decide on your ribbons on your own, because life doesn't allow you to give a kid that much attention. There are other kids, and other kids need other things. But you know what? If I had nothing else to do with my life, so then, even though it doesn't interest me, I would listen to her. Yeah, maybe this ribbon, maybe that ribbon. Well, maybe this will match better. Maybe that will match better. Yes, we could have a discussion about that. Tells us Shlomo HaMelech, a smart person can be recognized by the fact that he's willing to hear what you have to say. Whereas a fool indicates to you that the only way you're going to get through is with the stick. And unfortunately, what we see is that usually the stick doesn't teach them the lesson either. Meaning that usually people fail and fail again, and they're unwilling to see that they have to change a point in themselves. One of the best experiences I had was when an employer took me at the end of a year and bawled me out. I didn't think it was right. I didn't think it was fair. But the fact that he gave me over the head taught me things that I'm not the same person. What do I mean?
You pointed out things that you agreed with. I don't understand what you did.
We agreed I would teach 4 hours a day. I taught 8 hours a day. Okay? Without exaggeration. So I was very surprised. How could you have a claim against the person when he's doing more than you agreed on? But he came and said, okay, but who asked you to do A and B? So I said, but I did it on my time. What do you want? But what I inferred, you know, I was giving them more than they asked me for. But what I learned from that conversation is that to an employer, he doesn't care that you're giving him double what he asked you for. You have to make sure that you're giving him what he wants, which is very different. Sometimes you think, I'm giving him double, so what can he want? The answer is no. If you haven't covered what he wants, and very often it's just a question of expectations. Today, I try not to go 3 months without a meeting with the people who are above me, and making sure that we're on the same page. Why? I learned the hard way. You could work very hard, but you're working very hard the wrong direction. So here I am giving double the time, but now I'm discovering at the end of the year, no, they wanted something else. Okay, so there wasn't good communications. Yes, my fault, not my fault, doesn't matter. Bottom line, I have to learn from it, right? So today, it's a different ballgame. I say, okay, tell me exactly what you want. And my first goal is to cover exactly what they want. After that, okay, whatever's after that is after that. So we have to be open to hearing. Tells us Shlomo HaMelech, Chachamim yitzpenu da'at ufi yevil mechita kerova. Chachamim yitzpenu da'at. Wise people will conceal, will hold on to the wisdom that they have. And we will see later on, Shlomo HaMelech says that a fool is like a tin can with a rock inside. You know, if you have a tin can with a rock inside, every time you move it, you hear the rock. So Shlomo HaMelech says, that's a fool. He knows one piece of information. Wherever he is, he wants to give it to you. So he's always trying to share with you what he just found out or what he knows he thinks you don't know. Whereas the Chachamim, when a person's smart, so his intellect remains hidden. He doesn't have to show you how smart he is. It's perfectly fine. Chachamim yitzpenu dat. Ufi evil, whereas the mouth of a fool, mechita kirova, is quick to bring destruction. Why? Because the fool doesn't realize that he's digging his own grave. So he talks and he talks and he talks and he doesn't realize that he's hurting himself. Ufi Avil, the mouth of the fool, Mechita Kroma, is his own destruction. He brings destruction swiftly upon himself. And again, this is something people repeatedly do. So how do you overcome this? You have to stop, engage. You have to stop and look. How many times did I do it? We had a student here who ended her relationship with a girl and let her know, forget it, I never want to hear from you again. And then he went to the army, and when he thought it was his last day, so he went in to his mifaked and told him exactly what he thought of him. And then he came and studied here. I'm giving you two examples from his life. And then he came and studied here, and then war broke out, Oferet Yitzhuka, cast lead. And he was dying to go back into the army. And he had the training, and all the years that he had been there, there was never a real war, so everything he did was like almost, but not for real. So he called them back, and he said, let me in, and they said, we'll call you if we need you. And basically, they did everything to keep him out. Because his mifaked, after being told what he thought of him, he said no. So I tried telling him, you know, look at where it got you. Stop. Learn from it. I don't think I got through. I don't think, because a person has to be open to it. A person has to see, has his mouth gotten him into a lot of trouble? Pi avil, the mouth of the fool, mechita krova, is swift to bring his own destruction. So a person has to keep gauging. What did I say? And what did it cause? And then learn from it. Hon ashir kiryat uzo, the wealth of the wealthy. Hon ashir, the wealth of the wealthy. Kiryat uzo, that's like the fortified city for him. Mechitat dalim resham, the poverty of the poor is their own destruction. So firstly, we have to know that this pasuk is telling us an economic truism. It's something that everyone always says, and there's truth to it, that the wealthy keep getting wealthier and the poor keep getting poorer. And there's a nice analogy for this. A wealthy person goes to buy shoes and a poor person goes to buy shoes. So the poor person doesn't have money, so he buys used shoes for $2. The wealthy person, well, he goes out there, he has the money to buy good shoes, so he buys brand new shoes for $4. When he finishes using his new shoes, he gives it back to the poor person for $2. How much did he end up paying for his shoes? The same $2. But he had the money to get the $4, which will end up being $2. So, Hon Ashir, the wealth of the wealthy, is Kiryat Uzo. That's his strength. Because he can keep, if you have the money, you can keep applying the money. There are a million examples for this. It doesn't mean that a wealthy person can't lose his wealth. It just means that his strength in remaining wealthy is his wealth. The wealth helps him remain wealthy. When Donald Trump had trouble, so they sort of were willing to extend his loan and give him good terms because, yeah, you know, they wouldn't have done it for me. Whereas Mechitat Dalim, the destruction of the poor, is their very poverty, because who's going to want to give him a loan, and who's going to want to give him a job, and sometimes it's cyclical, he can't get out of it. We have these situations over and over again where a person can't get out of the hole because he's too busy catching up with the hole. So one of the things is, don't enter that hole. There are certain things you should never do. I recommend you should have a bank account that doesn't have the capacity to go into minus. If you don't have money, don't spend it.
Can you actually ask the bank to do that?
I have it. I don't have the capacity for minus. So there have been times when, for whatever reason, when Machon Meir had their financial troubles, there were 3 months they weren't paying salaries. And it was Yom Tov time. So we reached a point where my wife said, what are we going to eat? I said, whatever's in the closet. We'll make noodles, we'll eat crackers, but it's very healthy. You don't have another option, so make it work. You don't have a choice. Make it work. You want, take a loan from a neighbor, but a loan from a neighbor you'll pay. When people are in minus, they're paying interest, and it's never ending. So that's one. Number two, which is even more important, is never take a loan from a loan shark or the gray market, because they take you for life. And it seems like, well, I'll get it back. No, the interest rates are so crazy, you're never going to be able to pay it back. And experience proves that you can never pay it back. You have people who work their whole lives to pay off the interest they took from a loan shark, or what's called in Israel the gray market. Yeah.
I agree 100% what you said about the overdraft. until I learned a lesson recently, what happened to me, you know what happened? You can still overdraw your account, even if you don't have an overdraw. The problem is that they fine you for overdrawing your account. So I got fined 53 shekels because for one day I went 200 shekels into overdraw, which I didn't have. It's not like they stop you, they don't. They let you go, and then they
actually,
fine
then
you.
Then it's more expensive.
Yeah. More expensive. So now I'm going to ask the bank if they can just give me, like, I don't know, 500
shekels overdraw. Yeah,
I asked them not to make me go into zero, but then when I got a credit card, they said that it's not like in the States where you pay the credit card bill. They take it from your account. And I said, well, what if I don't have money? I can't go into zero. They said, don't worry, we're going to take the money from you anyway. Meaning they were going to make me go into zero or something.
It's very good on the credit card.
Huh?
It's very good on the credit card.
You don't need a charge card.
I have a credit card, but with a limit.
No, but don't you see the problem?
Like every month limit.
The good thing is you don't have to worry about putting the money in your credit card account every month.
No, save myself. I've said
it. No, no, we only use credit card for the water bill and the electric bill, because that you're going to pay anyway.
Well, make sure you don't go into zero.
Everything else, I'm saying you should pay. If you have the money, pay it. And if you don't have money, don't pay it. Water and electric, you also should. I'm saying.
You needed to get used to checks here. Some people ask still for checks here.
Yeah.
Just milk tea here.
No, not anymore.
Which one?
Chazal tell us that the pasuk really in depth is not referring to money. The pasuk Chazal tell us is referring to Torah. So remember, Shlomo Amel said every pasuk is going to have at least two meanings. Shlomo said in the beginning of Mishlei, either from the literal interpretation you can learn something. So we discussed that. From the deeper interpretation, so there's also something to be learned. What can you learn from deeper interpretation? Chazal say, Hon Ashil, the wealth of someone who's wealthy in Torah, Kiryat Uzo, is going to be his strength. Nechitat Dalim, but when a person's poor in Torah, that's Reisham. That's going to be the destruction of the poor. Nechitat Dalim, the destruction of the poor is Reisham, is their own poverty, a person's own poverty in Torah. Now, both when it comes to poverty in Torah and when it comes to material poverty, you have to know that there are ways out. What's the way out? Slow but steady. Meaning, when most people enter, you have a job. So you say, I'm just barely making ends meet with my job. And what would be if on the side, one time a week, you could find an hour and a half to sell something on eBay? For example, what would be if one time a week you'd find a way on your way home to sell discs at the bus stop? So you'd sell three discs. You'd get another job for another hour and a half, but that money should go aside. And if a person can build on that, so then you can build exponentially. Meaning, it's true. Initially, how can I get there? But I'll tell you how you could get there. So you can't afford to buy an apartment in Yerushalayim. But you can afford to buy an apartment in places where it costs 20,000 shekel. There are still places like that in the country. 40,000 shekel. As of 3 years ago, you could buy an apartment in Lod for 40,000 shekel. So you'd say, what's it worth? And I'll say, no. You get rent. You start building up. You start building up your real estate. No. It's a wrong way of thinking. Person thinks, I can't. No, you can. You can't do it like the wealthy. So you have to take money that you could afford to lose and slowly build it up. There have to be two accounts. I believe in running two accounts. There's the account I live from, there's the account I save, and there's the account I invest. The savings, however, Chazal tells to divide it. But there has to be investment. You have to have the potential to get rich somehow, right? Do something that gives you potential. The poor person doesn't have to remain poor, but it's up to him to use his intelligence to get out of it. And I still owe you guys the story of Van Vu, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow I will bring it. Phenomenal story about a guy from Vietnam who was wealthy three times in Vietnam until finally they threatened his life and he had to come to the United States. He had to pay all his gold and all his wealth to get here. And then he went to his brother-in-law's bakery with his wife, slept there in the bakery, sold the baked goods, and slowly started saving money. Didn't get a car, didn't get an apartment, would go to the sink to shower himself and his wife. But because they lived so frugally, he became a multimillionaire because he knew how to build slowly. Meaning our mistake is when we think, I'll invest in the stock market, I'll get it right, and I'll make millions. No, that's how you lose millions. You have to go slow and steady. If you made a little bit of profit, pull it out, and then think again. Yeah, same thing with you make investments, figure out how to build slowly. But if you build slowly, you reach points where you could make a lot of money on your investments. No person has a straight up graph. Every graph goes up and down and up and down. But if you're in the right direction, then you're still working your way up. Now the same thing with Torah. So a person says, I'm not wealthy in Torah. How am I ever going to get there? No, just like with investments. You could take out another 5 minutes a day, learn two halachot. 5 minutes every day, every person can find. Learn two halachot a day. That's how Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus became the great Rabbi Eliezer, the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva. It says in Medrash Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, every day he would learn two halachot and then review them all day. You know what? If you take a sefer like Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Chaye Yodam, whatever sefer you take, two halachot, but you review them and know them well, so it won't be the first year. But by the second year, you'll suddenly feel confidence. You know what's going on. Mechitat Talim Reisham doesn't have to be that way. You could dig yourself out of the pit, but it's up to you to want to. Pe'ulat Tzadik Lechayim Tevuat Rasha Lechatat. Pe'ulat Tzadik, the actions of the righteous are Lechayim. They're always searching for life. And another understanding here, a beautiful understanding here, is Pe'ulat Tzadik. Because of the actions of the Tzadik, Lechayim, that's why Hashem chooses to repeatedly give him life. Meaning, there's a pasuk in Ha'azinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is praising the Ribbono Shel Olam. He says, Hatzur Tamim Pa'alo, Hashem is the rock, everything he does is whole. Kel Emuna Ve'en Avel. He never cheats. He's never unfair. You want to praise Hashem, that's what you're going to say. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, I think, was the one who said the following mashal. There was once a thief that everyone wanted caught, and the king finally caught him and judged him to be hung. And the day came, everyone gathered to the square, and he's being led to the gallows, and the king calls out and says, is there anyone in the crowd who could say one reason not to hang this person? And everyone yells, no, hang him. So he's leading him to the gallows, and suddenly a little boy steps forward, and he says, Your Majesty, I want to say something. So the king says, stop. What do you have to say, little boy? So the boy says, well, I understand that man stole from a lot of people, and so you think he has to be hung. But that man is my father, and I have a question. Maybe he deserves to be hung, but why do I deserve to be an orphan? So, in our world, we don't have a choice. You can't both hang him and leave him not an orphan. We can't do both, right? But the Ribbon Shel Olam is Kol Yachol. Everything is within his realm. There's nothing that's beyond his realm. And there's never a situation where there are innocent bystanders, where that little boy suffered something unnecessarily. We don't know why he suffered. You'll ask me why there are little children with cancer. I don't know. You'll ask me to explain why there are little children who have all kinds of diseases and suffering. I can't answer that. I have no answer for that. That's in the calculations that we don't understand. But nonetheless, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. Hatsu tamim paolo. Hashem's actions are all-encompassing, they're complete. Kele muna, you could trust him, ve'en avel, and there is nothing that's unfair. Even when there are innocent bystanders, you should know, that was also calculated. Says Shlomo HaMelech, Pe'ulat Tzadik, because of the actions of the righteous, lechayim. That's why he has life. And this goes on to another famous Dvar Torah, that they say you should have many friends. Because Hashem calculates what every person is going to go through. So everyone knows if something happens to you, it'll pain a million people because a million people know you, right? So Pulat Tzadik, the actions of the Tzadik, Lechayim. That's part of the reason that he has life. Tivuat Rasha, but the crops that the Rasha reaps is Lechatat. That's really, what does the word Chatat mean? The word Chatat literally means lacking, to be missing. Chet means missing. So, Tevuat Rasha.
Where's the you should have many?
Facebook.
Not Facebook. The idea is that that will prevent bad things from happening to you because Hashem won't want to pain them either. So the actions that a person does that are righteous are also a reason for his life in a spiritual sense. And Tevuat Rasha, whereas the crops of the wicked is Lechatat, that ultimately causes him to be missing from the world because his own actions are detracting to himself. And I guess we'll pick up here, Bezat Hashem, next time.